On page 850 of your Pew Bibles, you'll find Psalm 22. We're going to work through the whole psalm. We're not going to exhaust it by any means. You could preach two or three sermons easy out of this. And yet it is one whole piece of poetry, one whole song to the deer of the dawn, and it is a psalm of David. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groanings, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. And they shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord? Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb, and you made me trust while I was on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is welted, it melted within me. My strength is dried like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, and he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the family of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. The posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's a remarkable psalm, Psalm 22. And even as we sing it, it's interesting for me to be up here and hear you singing, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? The dogs encircle me. They're snapping and biting at me. They're gambling for my clothes. We sang that together. And you know, in all the talk of liturgy and all the talk of music, and all the talk about praise and worship, is there ever talk about lament? What about the person who's here today, this morning, who's really suffering? The person who is weeping before Almighty God because their sons or their daughters refuse to give their life to Jesus Christ after all the Bible reading, after all the bedside prayers, and after bringing them to this baptismal font? What about those who lived their lives and they thought that they were living before the Lord, and then at the end of a day, their daughter or their son is called home to glory? Or for those dealing with someone who has cancer, or hearing the news that perhaps their grandfather doesn't have that much longer to live. What about those who are in marriages that just aren't working that well, and then in the context of the church, it has to work well, and then they bear it alone, trials and struggles, and then sometimes the horror of a divorce in the church, or parents who have to watch all of these things. And then we get what we call a covenant disorientation. This is not the way it's supposed to go. Honor your father and your mother. Keep all of these laws. Keep all of these commandments, and it will go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. But the beauty and the wonder of Psalm 22, it's not only a lament. It ends up being in a song of redemption, a song of hope, a song of glory and praise to a God who keeps his promises and gets us through the night until the dawn of the morning, what brings dancing and singing and joy again to our hearts. Praise God, beloved, that this is not all that there is, and that misery is not eternal for those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That there is that remarkable encouragement again, give your life to him. Live with him. Cry to him. Because the devil is sounding through the voice of Job again and again in our lives. You remember the story of Job? And he lost all of his children, lost all of his animals, lost all of his barns, lost all of his wealth, lost all of his dignity. And there's his wife standing on the stoop looking at him. Really, Job? You're going to praise the living God, curse God and die and get done with it. It screams through the ages, curse God and die, David. Curse God and die, Jesus. Curse God and die, church in the tribulation, you, beloved. We sing of the suffering servant who wins the deliverance for the nations. And we want to not just run over David, to hop over him, because we hear those words, and you hear it, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we see Christ on the cross, we hear Christ on the cross, it's prophetic. How can it even be? It's like David was standing right there with Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is singing his own songs after himself. He moved David to write these words that are probably a bit flamboyant, that are probably exaggerated, that are probably poetic hyperbole. But he moved him nonetheless, so that in his day of anguish, he would sing these songs that are also songs for you to sing, but never without hope. For the Psalm 88, where we read of the destitution of the psalmist, so deep and dark and despair that he never even sings about the hope of getting out. That is the psalm that belongs specially to Christ, who will die on the cross. But if this is the Good Friday psalm, it is no less the Easter psalm, and it bodes well for us as we work through it this morning, looking at the week ahead, and then as a congregation as we meditate on it morning by morning in the week ahead. We sing of the suffering servant who wins deliverance for the nations. In Aramaic, it's Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happened to David? What happened in his life that he was struggling so? According to the biblical record, we don't really have anything that we could say, yeah, that must be the time that it happened. We know that maybe David felt some of these pangs when he was running away from his own son Absalom. Now, in fairness, God had said after David sinned with Bathsheba, the sword will never depart from your house, and his house was a mess because David wouldn't do the work of a king, which is to kill the murderers and the rapists in his own home, and it came back to bite him, as we would say. Absalom, my father is peace, his name means. The handsome one, the one with the long hair, everybody loves him. Absalom, Absalom, oh, my son Absalom, David cries out. Chases his father, old and no longer in the strength of his youth. Casts him out of Jerusalem. And the priestly caste says, go, David, we don't want you. And the army says, go, David, we don't want you. And the people say, go, David, and we don't want you. It is utter betrayal. If any of you have known betrayal, it is a brutal emotion. When people you think love you, when people you think have your back, and then those people sell you out, people you gave your heart to, people that you trusted, it is awful and it is ugly and it is utterly disoriented. My God, why are you so far from helping me? But notice what David does in his lament, in his trial, in his struggle. He doesn't say, you know what, Job's wife, you're right. Let's curse God and die. What was the point of being obedient? What was the point of being anointed? What was the point of believing in God our Father? What would be the point? No, David says, Lord my God, I remember you, and I cry out to you. You are holy and enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you and you delivered them. He looks to the history. He looks to the Bible. He looks to the history of redemption. God brought his people through Egypt. And they cried out to God. And Moses cried out to God. And the battle belonged to the Lord. And they follow Moses and Joshua. And then they get into the promised land. And the men are too big. And the men are too strong. And the men have armory and horses and chariots. There's no possible way that Israel is going to win. But Joshua cries out to the Lord, and the battle belongs to the Lord. And what are the judges of Gideon and Ehud? And on it goes. The battle belonged to the Lord, and David says it always has and it will. They cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and they were not ashamed. He's filled with hope. That is the power of faith. And if any of you, beloved, have known that, when you've gone through that kind of betrayal, where you've lost dignity, especially for the sake of the gospel, or for doing the right thing, or even for things you just didn't understand, why is this even happening? If you still are praying, if you can even still say, my God, why are you forsaking me? That's the power of faith in a human being. That's the only way we can stand. As the devil says, forget about it. It's not worth it. Your God? Come on, David. Your God doesn't love you. And that's how we feel. Your God doesn't love you. Otherwise, why are you suffering like this? And we forget that suffering, any man who wants to live a godly life, Paul writes to Timothy, will be persecuted. You will suffer. Satan's coming after you. The more holy you are, the more he's coming after you. He doesn't want your salvation. He doesn't want your witness. He doesn't want your joy. He will do everything he can to turn you against Almighty God. Curse God and die. My God, I won't. But I don't understand. Why have you forsaken me? Everything is upside down. The mountains are being thrown into the sea. The wicked are prospering. How come they're winning, Lord? I don't understand it. Why are you so far from me? It's about the ninth hour, and everything goes dark. We're in Golgotha now, and there's a man hanging on a cross. Just a few hours before, in the evening, in the night, he'd been in a garden in Gethsemane, wrestling, struggling with God as his father is slowly but surely withdrawing his gracious presence from him. And the oppression of our sin is being pushed on that righteous man. Oh Lord, let this cup pass from me. No, my son, you have to drink it. You have to drink it to the bottom. You have to drink the bitter dregs. You are going to suffer. See, David suffered because of his own sin. David suffered that God would move him into some other place. He is covenantally disoriented, but Jesus is abandoned by his Father because we betrayed him, because we refused to honor God with our hearts and our souls and our lives. This is what sin does. This is what sin did. This is what it costs to pay for sin. Don't take grace lightly. As you hear our beloved Savior hanging there in the dark, because God will not let you see what he's going to do to his son, Eli, lama sabachthani. Some people think that Jesus sang all of Psalm 22 there on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? What have I done? Even Pontius Pilate has declared me innocent. They can't even agree on any charge that they've laid before me. You know I've lived a holy life. You know I've lived a righteous life. Why are you forsaking me? Ah, dearest Jesus, how hast thou offended? I was denied thee. And because of me, God crucified me. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that water teaches us of the impurity of our souls. And the water teaches us what a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner that I am. But that water reminds us of the blood that is being shed there from the man who cries out to his God, "Why have you forsaken me?" They cried to you, Lord, Moses, and Joshua, and the judges. They cried to you, O Lord, and you delivered them. But I'm a worm, and I am no man. All my dignity has been lost. They're laughing at me. I'm a reproach. I once wore a crown, and now I'm nothing. Worse than that, I'm despised. They ridicule me. He trusted the Lord? Really? Okay, David, I think you're a hypocrite. I think all of these really interesting psalms that you wrote and all of this God-glorifying stuff and all of that interesting repentance and humility, really? That's what your God does to you? No, that's not what God does, David. God doesn't strip a man of his dignity. God doesn't make him a reproach. And we can buy into that, you see. It's a great satanic strategy. It's a great attack on us. God must not love me. Look at how I am suffering. Every day I wake up depressed. I must not have good enough faith. All the time I wake up in the morning, I'm horribly anxious. Well, it's because I don't have faith. I'm not good enough. God must not love me. Get thee behind me, Satan. For I am being persecuted because I belong to God. Because the devil wants David to die. And he doesn't want the Christ to come. And he doesn't want God's will to be done. And he doesn't want God's kingdom to come. But David has to learn it, and you and I, we have to learn it. And there's Jesus hanging there on the cross, and they can hear him breathing. He's stripped naked now, eh? That thorny crown on his head. His mom can see him naked. His women friends can see him naked. It's disgusting. Where's the dignity for our Lord, the Lord of Lords, true God, true man? Is he still your beautiful Savior then? Is he? Crying out to his God in his sorrow, that's the Son of God, that's the Messiah, really? Jesus, Son of Joseph, Son of Mary? That's what God does to you? If God is your God, Jesus, jump down from the cross. Show us now and we'll believe you. Oh, listen, Eli, he's crying out to Elijah. What a loser. As if Elijah is going to do anything. Oh, well, maybe we should just see. Maybe something will happen. Why is Jesus doing this? Why doesn't Jesus say, enough of you guys. You all got leprosy. Enough of you guys. Boom, you're all dead. He sits there in his silence, and he will not answer them. My God, why have you forsaken me? I'm a worm. I'm not a man. Look at me. Look at what they're doing to me. But there's hope, see? Because David said, I'm your child. As much as Martha is the child of God laid on her mother's breast, so was David. He was circumcised. Martha was baptized. I belong to him. You have always been near to me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help, or else am I going to go? I will not listen to you, Job's wife. Shall we receive good and not evil from the Lord? Yes, I will drink this cup that you have given me to drink. My God, I will cry out to you. My God, why have you forsaken me? Hear me. Lord, my God, be my strength. The bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan. Bashan is the Golan Heights today. It's known for its lush grasses and wheat. And the cows and the bulls there are bigger than anywhere else in that area, especially at that time. Remember Amos mocked the women of Israel, "You cows of Bashan." These people were rich. They were powerful. They were cultured. They were arrogant. That's what the enemy is like. Have any of you ever seen the wrath of a bull? What a bull can do? In our first charge in Balmoral, we went not to the bosses, but the bosses. And they were raising a bull. And Leah was just 2 or 3 years old. And she looked at the bull and she walked into the pen. And I have never seen a man turn that white and freak out that bad. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump in there. I'm going to throw her over the gate. And I'm going to jump and go fast. And he did it. I caught her and he came out. Bam! That bull wanted that man dead. Horns out, ready to gore. And then I understand this. That is just fear. That is just a huge beast filled with wrath. And then he says, they're like the biggest beasts filled with wrath. Be not far from me, Lord. Be not far from me. I need you. I need you. Save my precious life from the power of the dog. It's not like my dog will come and lick you to death. These are the scavenger, Middle East, bony, mangy, disgusting, rabid dogs who basically eat anything that's left over, and if they're hungry, they're coming after you. And they're biting, and they're snapping, and you're kicking at them, and they're biting at your feet, and they're piercing your feet, and you're slapping them away, and they're biting at your hands, and they're piercing your hands. And now you're a Jew who's been bit by an unclean animal. You're healthy being bit by an unhealthy animal. And it's scary, and it's disgusting, and it's humiliating. It's what the poor and the low have to go through hanging out by some refuse dump. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. Ever seen a lion kill something, running up on an antelope, slapping it, busting its back, ripping its jugular and throat out, and then slashing it while it eats it? The dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. They look at me. They stare at me. They divine my garments among me, them for my clothing, and they cast lots. Hey, he's good as dead. He's not going to need any clothes anymore. This is the king. We just laugh at him. David has gone through it, and he hears the breathing, and the breathing goes over the ages. And you think of John the Baptist laying there in that jail cell, waiting for something to happen. And then Herod's daughter does a sweet little dance. Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter, because that's what mom wants. And he dies. Just like all those suffering prophets before, but now ultimately, cumulatively, all of it's coming together in Jesus Christ. It's like he's standing in the middle and all the bulls got their horns out. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to get out. And he's going to take it. See, David is suffering for what he has done. But Jesus is suffering for what you have done. Jesus is suffering so that you might live. Jesus is going to have to die. He's not going to survive this attack. Satan is going to come after him. All hell is breaking loose now. His hands are really pierced. His feet are really pierced. He's hanging on the cross now. Many people died on crosses, beloved, but not like he died. Not with hell pressing out the bloody sweat. He's been whipped so many times, you can look through the skin and you can actually count his bones. He's been sitting there, hanging there in the heat of the day. His mouth is so dry, it's like potsherd. Beloved, what manner of love is this? Oh, my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And he bears it. So that we might sing of our Redeemer, that we might understand that what we read in Hebrews chapter 4 becomes true. Since children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of breath. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. When you take your struggle and your trial, when you say, Lord Jesus, I have been betrayed, he says, I know. I've been laughed at and ridiculed. I've been bullied and cyberbullied. I've been laughed at. I've been body shamed. I've been maltreated. I know. Oh, I know. Come to me. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I can even take your shame. That's why I'm dying there naked on the cross for you. My God, why are you forsaking me? Oh, dearest Jesus, I it was denied thee. And on our behalf, God crucified me. Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. So the power of darkness now becomes the spread of joy. David was redeemed. David was set free. David now can do nothing else but sing. Actually, in Leviticus chapter 7, we read of the votive offering. And that was when something happened and God answered prayer in a wonderful way. Then all the family would come. So today then the boss family would come and they would bring all of their bread cakes. And then Justin, you would say, come on family, we're going to go and we're going to thank God for answering our prayers. And they would sing Psalm 22. We needed you, God. There was no other place to go, God. You didn't forsake me, God. You lifted me up. You saved me. You answered my prayer. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. And I will pay my vows before those who fear him. He has not hidden his face, but when he cried to him, he heard. God is not letting you go. God may be disciplining you. God may be making you struggle. God may be loading up sin upon the reprobate who's coming against you even. But he will not let you go. How can he, who gave his only son, with him not give us everything else that we stand in need of? Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into his death have been raised anew? Eli, lama sabachthani, turns to, it's finished. And then it's quiet. And then Jesus goes into the grave. And then up from the grave he arose. With a mighty victory o'er his foes, he arose. This is what the real triumphal Sunday is really about. Jesus has defeated sin and death and hell, and he stands before Almighty God, and he sings these praises to Almighty God. And then he moves in us. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. He shows to his disciples, look what God has done. All you who fear the Lord, praise him. You descendants of Jacob, fear him, offspring of Israel. We're not only going to just tell us, we're going to tell our children. And we're going to tell our children's children, says David. And Jesus says, go therefore into all the world and tell them. And fathers, don't exasperate your children, but train them in the fear of the Lord. Suffer the little children, come unto me, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. We're going to sing before our children. We're going to sing to our children. And then we're going to teach our children to sing, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I will sing of my Redeemer and all the prosperous of the earth, the rich, they shall eat and worship. And the poor shall eat and they shall worship. The healthy and the strong will eat and they will worship. And those who hardly can keep themselves alive and are near death, even they on their deathbed, Henry Togarith, will praise the living God because of the salvation that he brings. We never stop at Good Friday. Lord's Supper is on Easter. We remember Good Friday for a Christ that's coming again because he's alive. It doesn't end with, it is finished. It ends with, it is I. And I will be with you even to the end of the age. And I am coming again and I'm bringing my reward with me. A posterity will serve him. It will be recounted to the Lord of the next generation, and they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. He has done this. Children, we're singing this song this morning because when we're dead and gone, or until Jesus comes, we need you to sing this song. And it's not always happy songs. It's not always songs of praise and joy. We have funerals in the church and sadness in the church, and someday you're going to go through a hard time in your life too. even when you're a little kid, because that's what sin does. But you can sing to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he'll answer you, I'm with you, and I'll save you, and I'll get you through it. Maybe not the way you wanted, and maybe not as quick as you wanted. But I will be with you even to the close of the age. We need you to sing it when we can't sing anymore. And that's why we sing songs of lament. And that's why we sing songs of joy. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then what's the answer? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, Job's wife, stop it. And Satan, get thee behind me. We will not curse God and die. And we will find out from God that he has not forsaken us. And that he will be with us because he forsook his son that we may have life and joy and salvation forever. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And this one body to reconcile both of them to God by the cross. You see, redemption makes us want to sing, not just in the church, but to the world, Jew and Gentile, male and female, young and old, because of what Christ has done. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you that were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sinners saved by grace, now called to serve and sing to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we worship you. We thank you. We're empowered again. We thank you, Father, for David's talents and gifts, the way he wrote, the power of it. And that, Father, it pleased Christ to take these words on his lips when he was dying, that we may take them for ourselves. May we sing to the glory and honor of your name. And we pray for any of the weary, the burdened, the depressed, the anxious, the lonely, those who are feeling utterly disoriented, those who perhaps are even wondering if you love them, that from this psalm and this hope and through the sacrament of baptism, they may feel that they belong to you and love you, and that they may be strengthened. And for those of us who are feeling more confident and sure, may we share this great hope and reach out for those who need comfort. Hear our prayer, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together then, 22a, 7, 8, 10, and 11. And we sing the power and the spread of joy.